fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. Now we have come to verse 4, but there's a couple of things that I want to mention about verse 1 and verse 2 that I want us to see in this passage. The shepherd is the one that leads. And I think that in reality, in your life and in mine, we have the opportunity to make a choice about who the shepherd is going to be. And many times, we choose the wrong shepherd. Many times, we choose ourselves as the shepherd. And when we choose ourselves as the shepherd, our wants go on and on and on. Our wants being satisfied is contingent on who we choose as the shepherd. When we choose the Lord as our shepherd, He is able to meet every need in our life. Now, this says that I shall not want. I think that we have to move this into a spiritual place. I don't believe that David had a bank account when he wrote this psalm. I don't believe he was driving any kind of automobile. Matter of fact, I think that most of the time he was spending his time out in the field with the sheep as a young shepherd. And so his needs being met were those that he was talking about here in the psalm. He was talking about his enemies, those that might try to steal the sheep. He was talking about his enemies, those that might try to kill the sheep. He was talking about his enemies, those conditions of the sheep surrounding that might cause them death and danger or injury in some way. Our problem in life is that many times we choose the wrong shepherd. We choose ourselves as the shepherd. If I could just get this job, all my needs would be met. If I could just get a hold of this much money, all my needs would be met. If I could live in this place, if I could live in that place, if I could just accomplish just a little more, then all my needs would be met. And then we make this discovery that whenever we have gotten to that place that we always thought we wanted to be, that when we get there, our needs are not met. It's not like what we thought it would be. I've certainly tried not to be a pastor that climbed the ladder. And I know that from the time I started in 19 and actually I started pastoring in 72. I was ordained in 73. That's been a few years ago. And a lot of the guys that I went to college with were climbing the ladder. And they thought that if you went to a bigger church, you were actually doing good. If you went to a great big church, you were really doing good. When I first started, we struggled to get enough gas in the car to go both ways to church and pastor the church. I'm telling you, I'm appreciative that the church buys my gas. Because we were driving 150 miles one way to pastor a church. And the church, we were driving a Volkswagen. It may have paid $25 a week if you want to know how much we made. You probably don't care. But $25 a week would barely buy the gas for us to go from Walnut Ridge to Clinton and back. Now, I don't know, gas wasn't much then, 28 cents a gallon, 30 cents a gallon, somewhere along in there. But it barely paid the gas. But you know, the church wasn't responsible for buying our gas. The church wasn't responsible for buying the food that we had on the table, or the clothes that we had on our back, or the needs that we had week after week. Do you know who was responsible for that? And you think, well, old Lanny was responsible for that. Well, I tell you, it's whoever the shepherd was the one that was responsible. And if the Lord was our shepherd, he was responsible for meeting those needs. The Lord taught us a lot in those days. I tell you, we don't always learn through health, wealth, and prosperity. We learn through the valleys. And we're going to talk a little bit about the valleys. And one thing I hope that I don't forget to mention is that, and I said this to Gwen on the way, I said, do you know what every valley has in common? Every valley has in common? She said, there's a mountain on each side. That's right. There's a mountain on each side. We go through the valley, and we're being taught by the Lord. The shepherd is leading us through the valley. But there's a mountain coming. There's a mountaintop coming. I like that song, the God of the mountains, also the God of the valley. We struggle when we were in college. I actually think it was good for us. I think it's good for any college student. I think it's good for any preacher to struggle, really. We had three kids. We had two, with one on the way when we first started, I don't know what semester we were in, but Gwen had Rebecca in the middle of the semester. She missed some classes, but absolutely she never missed a lick. She still graduated with a 4.0. I tell folks that she was on the dean's list every semester, and I was on the president's list the second semester. Now, the difference between the dean's list and the president's list is that you have to have a 3.0 or above in order to be on the dean's list. That is a good list. When you get on the president's list, you get a letter from the president that says if you don't bring your grades up, you're going to be out. And I know that you can't believe that I would have gotten a letter like that, but actually I did get a letter like that. If I didn't bring my grades up, I was going to be out. The second semester I was in college. Yeah, I learned a little bit about taking tests and some stuff after that. If you need to always sit next to somebody that's real smart. No, I'm kidding. While we were in college, I remember getting in a real low condition, feeling sorry for myself because I got my eyes off of the shepherd. I got my eyes off the staff and the rod of the shepherd and began to focus on what Lanny could do. And Lana Carroll, I don't know, She was in first or second grade or third, somewhere along in there, our oldest daughter. And she's getting ready to leave for school. And I noticed that her pants were too small for her, and she had holes in one knee. Had a hole in. Now, this was before holes were popular in the knee of your pants. And between me and the Lord, I had a little pity party about what was going on and how hard we were having it. And a car pulled up out in front of our house, and it was one of my buddies that was a fellow student. And we were in several classes together, and he knocked on the door and I opened the door, and back then there was a lot of big cars. This was a big car of some kind, I can't remember, big Buick or something, had a huge trunk. But he said, if it would not insult you, he said, my Sunday school class wants to give you something. And I said, well, it won't insult me. Let's see what it is. And he opened his trunk, and it was level full of groceries and clothes for the kids. Now, I don't know how they made that decision, but this is the thing about it. This is the thing about it. I was having this pity party and complaining to the Lord, and those arrangements had already been made. He was already on the highway on his way to our house when I was having this spell. You and I have got to keep our eyes on the shepherd. I don't know. It doesn't matter what is going on in our life. It doesn't matter if it's relational. It doesn't matter if it's financial. It doesn't matter if it's health. It doesn't matter what it is. You and I are to keep our eyes on the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. Verse 2. I want us to see something about this verse. Maybe you've seen it already. But the very first part of that verse says, are you looking at it with me? He, so who's the he here? The he is the shepherd, right? He, what's that next word? Maketh. He maketh. Have you and I got that? Nobody's going to make us do anything. I'm my own boss. Nobody's going to order me around. It depends on who your shepherd is. He, the Lord, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I've got a border collie that I'm working with. I started to say training, but I don't know if he's training me or I'm training him, but anyway, I've got this border collie that I'm working with, and he has learned a couple of commands. But it's, hang on. He's got some comments on it, I know. He's with me sometime when we're doing this. It's move up, down, and move up. And I've learned from having several border collies that you never stop. If you ever start something, you do not stop. If he doesn't go down, you stay with him until he goes down. You make him go down. Now, what about us? The Lord maketh me to lie down. Don't you think that the Lord knows what it takes to bring us to the place where he wants us to be? When the Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he is... Now, I know that doesn't sound... When we read the 23rd Psalm, that doesn't sound like a command to us. But I'm telling you, the Lord is moving in our lives in such a way that He wants us to be obedient to Him. And I think that at least in my life, He just keeps going over and over it until I learn it. And I'm telling you, I want to be a quick learner. I want to learn that so he doesn't have to just go over and over and over it. In the fourth verse, the psalmist said, I will fear no evil. Psalms 56:3 says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in the Lord. We're living in a time that it's fearful, that we may be fearful. But we don't have to be afraid. I will fear no evil. So how is it that I am not to fear any evil? We talked about this the other morning at the breakfast table, that God says that when our ways please Him, that He make even our enemies to be at peace with Him. And we don't have anything to fear. I will fear no evil. Well, this is how we do it. We don't focus on the problem, but we focus on the shepherd. Don't turn to the other sheep, but just stare at the rod and the staff. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Faith is trusting what the eye can't see. Eyes see a prowling lion. Faith sees Daniel's angel. You remember what the story says? That God sent His angel and closed the lion's mouth? Eyes see storms. Faith sees Noah's rainbow. Eyes see giants, and faith sees Canaan. Your eyes see your faults. Your faith sees your Savior. Your eyes see your guilt. Your faith sees His blood. Your eyes see your grave. Your faith sees a city whose builder and maker is God. Your eyes look into the mirror and see a sinner, a failure, a promise breaker. But by faith, you look in the mirror and see a prodigal bearing the ring of grace on your finger and the kiss of the Father on your face. Verse 4 also says, thou art with me. There is a wonderful story in Genesis, the 28th chapter, where God gives Jacob this wonderful promise. And I'll just leave it with you to read that when you have more time. But do you remember? You remember what took place when Jacob was there at, who knows the name of the place? Bethel. How do we know that? Because he's going back to Bethel, remember? He is at this place, coming into what's going to be the promised land. And does it say Beersheba? Does it say the name of the place is Beersheba? I don't know. That's okay. So he sees in his dream, you remember the story? He sees in his dream a ladder going up to heaven. And these messengers, these angels of the Lord, are coming down and going up and coming down and going up. And he says, this is the place where God is. And so he builds a pillar and he worships there. But God makes him a promise that he makes to everyone else, every one of us in 28 and verse 15, I will not leave you. Moses proclaimed it when he said, what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us in Deuteronomy 4. Paul said, he is not far from each one of us in Acts 17. So because the Lord is near, everything is different. Everything is different. He is near. He is near. It's not that we have to make some kind of connection with him to make him near. He's already there. Now we may not know it. We may not realize it. You know that the Bible does not tell us that the three Hebrew children, before they were thrown into the fire, looked in the fire and saw the fourth person. They did not. The king saw that in the fire. But he met them in the fire. He did not tell Daniel, I'm going to deliver you from the lion's mouth. But he did deliver him. Do you remember what the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king when they were told to bow down and worship the idol, or they were going to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace? And they said, we're not careful concerning you. We believe that our God's able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your idol. Because the Lord is near, you may be facing death. You're not alone. You may be facing a crisis in your life, a struggle. You may have lost a loved one. The Lord is near. There may be a struggle in your marriage. You may be facing a struggle at school or on the job. You are not alone. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Someone gave an illustration that the shepherd, after he had rescued a sheep, always carried some provision for the sheep to strengthen them, some food. And he would lay out a cloth on the ground and lay some fodder or something on the cloth. And he maybe had just saved that sheep's life from one of the enemies. Maybe the sheep had been injured, and he'd take oil from his pouch and he'd rub it on the sore of the sheep or the injury of the sheep to anoint the sheep. And David, perhaps he had done that several times, and he thought, you know, this is just like me and the Lord. This is how God does me. This is how the Lord does me. He oils my injuries. He soothes my wounds. He touches me where I need healing. And I am never, ever alone. Let's stand together.